First Peter 2, from verse 1. Let us pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity this morning to delve into the scriptures, seeking and searching for understanding of your word. Father, we ask this morning that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the truth in the scriptures. We ask for the unveiling of Christ Jesus to our minds, that henceforth from today we walk not as the Gentiles do in the vanity of their minds, but we walk in the light of life. Thank you, Father, because we walk in that function that we have of you, and we know all things this morning. We receive accuracy, protection, and the teaching and preaching of the word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 1 to 5. We're looking at our priesthood in Christ. And you see, this will sort out a lot of confusion about the ministry of the priest, you know, what the priest is and what the priest is not. And this morning I want you to pay particular attention to some things I'm going to share with us. I may not end them today, but definitely next week we will look at it again. 1 Peter 2 verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking and newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5 says, but you also. Now, that means he's bringing an identification. He has called Jesus the living stone. And now says, but you also as living stone. That word is living stone, not lively stone, but actually living stone. Are built up a spiritual house to a holy priesthood, pardon me, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So he says that you are a holy priesthood that is built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Anybody who has believed in Jesus. Now go to Exodus chapter 19, where God spoke to the children of Israel. Exodus 19 verse 5. He says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now I want you to note something. God gave a promise to them. He said, if you will keep my word and believe my word, he says, you will be a kingdom of priests. That means you will be kings and priests. That was the word he gave. But we're going to look at this in the next couple of minutes. So pay attention to exactly what God says. I discovered that in Bible study, many of us pay less attention to details. And so those details eventually now constitute the lack of taking cognizance of those details now constitutes the kind of ignorance that pervades the atmosphere today. You have to pay attention to those details. He gave them a promise. He says you will be a kingdom of priests. That is, everybody in the kingdom will be priests. And you will be king and priest. That's what implies. And we looked at the very first mention of the word priest in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 14. In case you are just joining us in the middle of this series, we have been on this for, I think, 6 weeks now. Am I right? Is it 6 weeks? About 6 weeks. So you probably need to backtrack a bit to have some clear-cut understanding. In Genesis chapter 14, we find a man called Melchizedek, which people have described as a mysterious being. Interestingly, he's not a mysterious person at all. Melchizedek is a human being, we have seen that, who came from a particular city, was a king of a particular city, and he was also referred to as the priest of the Most High God. And so this was the man, verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, that Abraham met after the battle of Sodom, and then he gave him a tenth of all that he brought from Sodom. He's called the priest of the Most High. Now observe something else Melchizedek is. He's also a king. He's a king, and he is a priest. And so, in clear terms, We have exactly what God was speaking of in Exodus 19:6 had already been fulfilled, you know, had already been seen, pardon me, in the person of Melchizedek, who was a king and who was also a priest. So again, we ask the question, who is a priest? A priest is a mediator, somebody who does something on behalf of another person. Or better still, he mediates in the middle of two people, between two people, is a mediator. Is what you call an intercessor. A priest will bring a mediation before a high authority, that is, he will bring what we call a propitiation. Two parties, one has lost his right of stand before the other party, so this fellow comes in between the two and brings propitiation for the sins of the other party. That's what a priest is. A priest is not somebody who dons garment or adorns garment or, you know, a priest is somebody who stands in between two people and brings mediation. You can say he stands in the gap. So that's what priests are. And today, if we are referred to as priests, you know, spiritual, and we are referred to as a holy priesthood, then we must understand that that ministry is a ministry that ministers to God. And I showed you that in Exodus 28. God says that you shall take Aaron and his children and they shall minister to me. They shall minister for me. So a priest is someone that will minister to and minister for God. Now, I know we have gone through a lot of understanding of what a priest is and all that. You see, this lack of understanding in the body of Christ today, not all the body of Christ, but a good majority, or a good number, you know, has made this distinction among believers. You have classification of believers. You have ministers and non-ministers. You will find things like that in the Bible, but it's so because of this that I'm going to show you in a moment. So the priests were to be taken from among the people. Now listen well. Israel is a nation. A nation referring to the children of Jacob. Now they are also called the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because of the blessing of the covenant. Abraham was called out by God, Genesis 12, out of his father's house and country, and called to a land that God will show him, Canaan. So when Abraham came forth, he was given a promise of a child at his old age, and that was the promise of Isaac. But interestingly, Abraham, you know, went into the flesh for 25 years thereabout. God spoke to him and called him a father of many nations, but Abraham did not believe that. And for those 25 number of years, Abraham called himself an assumed father. So his words did not align with what God said. But finally, God said to him, walk before me and you will be perfect. He said, I see, I go childless. He said, walk before me and you will be, and you will be perfect. He says, a father of many nations, God reminded me, have I made you? Not will I make you. You see that again in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believes it. And when he believes it, you know, interestingly, before he did that, he had picked up, in the flesh, is made by the name Hagar. And had a child throughout. And, you know, Hagar, the truth about both of them was that Sarah, you know, had seed to be able to have a child. It wasn't Abraham that could not have a child. People always have that wrong impression that Abraham could not father a child. No, it was Sarah that could not have a child. Okay? Are we together? Abraham, the weakness of his body was not his inability to have a child. It was Sarah whose body now being dead to bear a child. People always mix that up. So, just to say, I have no child. I said, can I take an heir from my own Eliezer? God said, no, but this from you. So all of a sudden, then he picked Sarah. Sarah's maid by the name Hagar and had a child through her. And he thought that was the heir. God came to her. That child will come through Sarah.
She is the mother of many nations. You are the father of many nations. And when they believed the word of God, within 1 year, Isaac came. So Isaac was now referred to as the child of the promise. And from Isaac, we now found out that there was now Jacob and Esau. Isaac was blessed of the father, was a child of the promise. Jacob and Esau. Then Jacob inherits the promise. So Jacob now has 12 kids. So Jacob is called Israel, and he has 12 children. So those 12 children are referred to as Israel. So, by foreknowledge and God's will and plan, they went into Egypt. Went to Egypt for 430 years, depending on each of the accounts you want to pick up. It is from the point of leaving Egypt or from the point of when Moses came, but 430 years altogether. Now, they came out of that. Every Christian should know this story anyway. They came out of Egypt as 12 tribes. Just like you have your father's, you know, you trace your great-grandfather, and then you find out that he has 10 children, but the same surname, but then he has, those 12 tribes are referred to as Israel, a nation. So you have Levi, you have Manasseh, you know, you have all of them, you have Joseph, 12 tribes of Israel. So when they came out, God spoke to that tribe, the whole tribe, as in Exodus 19:6, a kingdom of priests have I promised you, all of you. Then, you know, these folks did not keep his word. Okay? They didn't keep his word. They broke the commandment. And then God says, all right, since you folks don't want to relate with me one-on-one, I will pick a tribe out of the 12. That tribe will function as priests unto me. Now, you cannot have, listen well now, that tribe will now function as priests. That is, on behalf of the other 11, and including themselves, they will minister to God. They will stand in the gap for the whole nation. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. Is it clear to you? So when we say Israel, don't forget, we're referring to 12 tribes. So the 12 tribes had a lineage. Each tribe had a lineage of people. Aaron belonged to Levi. Are we together? Are you following this? First respond to me. Are we following this? Aaron belonged to Levi. So Aaron's children were Levi. Now, look at what God says. I will take one of you, they will minister to me. Look at Exodus 28. Take, verse 1, take the unto you Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that is from outside the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in which office? In which office? Come on, talk to me. In which office? The priest's office. Good. So Aaron had Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, which were Aaron's sons. So they were to come out of the nation of Israel and minister as priests unto God. Now, was that God's promise? No. What was God's promise in Exodus 19:6? All of you will be a kingdom of what? Priests. So something must have happened between verse chapter 19 and 28. Okay? He said, if you will hearken to my word, if you will believe my word, they did not. Okay? They said, Moses, you go hear from God. Whatever you hear from God, tell us. We don't want to talk to God. They were supposed to be priests for others. But now they needed a priest because they broke the commandments of God. They didn't believe the word. So he said, okay, as an interim arrangement, right? As an interim arrangement, you guys will now take Aaron and his sons, okay? And this will minister in the priest's office unto me. I showed you, you know, a couple of other scriptures like that, you know, about Aaron. So the priests were one of the tribes of Israel. Is that clear to everybody? They are referred to as the Levites, one of the tribes of Israel. Let me show you that again in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. It says,
concerning priesthood. Hebrews 7:5. He says, and verily, they that are the sons of Levi will receive the office of the priesthood. So the sons of Levi receive the office of the priesthood. Hebrews 7:5. Now look at Numbers chapter 18. I'm going to pay attention to that now. So who were the priests? Sons of Levi. Okay. Now you're going to take note of this now. If you've been following me on Facebook, you discover that during the week I brought an important issue up and I asked a question. Did Jesus take tithe from people? Did Jesus give tithe? And you can see a lot of war on my wall. So much ignorance. And someone say, well, is a priest out of the order of Melchizedek? Not even understanding what a priest is. You understand? But I know from this morning you will have a clear-cut, view about certain things. Look at it. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice made by fire for a sweet savor, shall you observe to offer unto me, he says, in their due season. Now run to verse 1. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house, can you see your father's house? That means your tribe, okay? Okay? With thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Can you see this? You shall be responsible for every deal of the sanctuary. Thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Are you following this now? Aha. You and your sons of your father's house, that's of Levi. And thy brethren also of the tribe of what? Levi. The tribe of your father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee, for thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of the witness. Thou shalt keep the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come near the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also shall die. Look at verse 6. And I behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites from among the children of Israel, to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord. So who are the gift for the Lord? The Levites. Are we following this? Please pay attention. For the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar. And within the veil you shall serve. I've given your priest office, giving your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh near shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, behold, I have also given thee the charge of my eve offering, and of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel unto thee, have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which thou shalt render unto me, and be the most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. So that means they were to collect offerings from where? The people, and take it to who? To God. Nobody could come to God on their own. Okay? The priests were to come to God, and don't forget they will come with blood, showing that they themselves do not have the right standing. Are we together? Are we together? Good. Now, look at verse 11. Please pay attention. And this is thine, and the eve offering of thy gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel, I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a certainty forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it, the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, or the feed, the first fruit of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Are you following this? The first fruit. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land which they shall bring unto the Lord shall be yours. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that opens the matrix in all the flesh will they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of every man thou shalt soil redeem, and the firstborn of the clean, unclean beast thou shalt redeem. Now, so it says, everything, when they go to the farm, and they have any increase, the first thing they get, they'll bring to you. That is, after their offerings, then the increase of their farmland, the increase of their produce, they will bring to you. You know why? You see it now. It says, everything, verse 16, and those that are to be redeemed from the month old, shall thou redeem according to thine estimation. It says for them, go to verse
20. Okay? Verse 20. I want us to read verse 20 together. Why is this so? Verse 20. Everybody, let's go. And the Lord shall say, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part, I am thy inheritance among the children of Israel. All this. That means they divided the land and they did not give Levi anything. Levi was to minister where? In the sanctuary. So because Levi had no land, no inheritance, so those folks were paying for their service. It was like a tax. Okay? We're working for you. We're coming to God's presence on your behalf. You will now render this to keep us. That's why you will find money given to them. Food. That's why I say, bring your tithes into the house, storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, who stays in the house? There are people in the house who were in the house of the Lord, the Levites, that there may be food in my house. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. So, they didn't have a part in the land. Now, follow this now. So, it says, look at this. Neither, it says, and behold, I've given the children of Israel, the children of Levi, look at this, of Levi, all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. Why? Verse 21. Why? For their service which they serve. The service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come near the tabernacle of the congregation lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, shall be established forever throughout your generation. Among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer the heave offering unto the Lord, are given to the Levites to what? Inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. Emphasis. 25. God spoke unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes I have given you from them for inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering for it for the Lord, even a tenth part of this tithe. Can you see it now? Why were they giving tithe? Because they had no work but what? The tabernacle. So, if somebody is not supposed to go and work, he's not supposed to go and farm, he cannot eat the meal offering and seed offering and the blood offering. He has to eat food. So, children of Israel, that means all the portion of land that was for them, the promised land, was shared into 11 places. Okay? Instead of 12. The 12 tribes will now take a tenth of all of the 11. Are we together now? So eventually, he has a part in the land, but not the land. Do you understand that? Why? Because the priests were to stay continually in the temple. They had no house. They had no home. They stayed in the tabernacle. They ate from the altar. Okay? Are we together now? But don't forget, God's promise was for Israel, all Israel, to be priests. And all Israel to be kings. Are we together? Are we together now? Now, a king owned the land. A king owns everything. Okay? He has authority over all the land. So, Israel didn't have a king, of course, until Saul, later on in 1 Samuel chapter 10. But they had priests from Levi, but don't forget, it was because they broke God's promise. So a part of them had to be priests, and later on, God chose a king for them. But God's mind was for Israel to be what? King, and what? That's God's plan. A king will minister over things. A priest will minister to God. So God wanted Israel to rule and reign on earth and yet minister to him. That was God's plan. Israel did not believe God's word. So God had to choose people who will minister
to him on their behalf. And later on, he chose the king who administer over them for God. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's intention. In the Old Testament, kings were separated from priests. Is that okay? Do you understand that? I showed you that. David was a prophet. He was a king, but he was not a priest. Okay? Samuel was the priest. David was the king. Are we together? Come on, talk to me. Are we together? Alright. So a king, different from a priest. A king will administer the people. A priest will minister to God on behalf of the people and bring God's word to the people. Just like Samuel did also. He was to be a stand in the gap between God and the people. Now, can you see why the writer of Hebrews pointed to Melchizedek instead of Aaron as the shadow and type of Jesus? Can you see it now? It couldn't have been Aaron because Aaron was not a king. It had to be who? Melchizedek. Who was what? A king and what? A priest. He was a man. But he foreshadowed Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. For him to have been Jesus, he had to be born by a virgin, and he wasn't. The prophecy of Jesus being born by a virgin came Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:7, and that was about 500 years after the story of experience of Melchizedek. It wasn't Jesus. It was a type and a shadow of Jesus. Some of you understand that? Come on, respond to me. Do you understand that? Good. Now look at this now. So, Melchizedek foreshadowed Jesus. Psalm 110 verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek is a king and what? A priest. One. Two. Melchizedek, was he a Levite? Huh? So, does he qualify to be a priest under the Old Testament? No. Was Jesus a Levite? No. He was from Judah. So Jesus doesn't qualify to be a priest under the Old Covenant. Melchizedek doesn't qualify to be a priest under the Old Covenant. So Melchizedek is a shadow of who? Jesus. We can draw semblance from Melchizedek. Now, why did Melchizedek collect tithe? Abraham? Why? Talk to me now. Because he could minister to God, right? On behalf of who? Abraham. Why? Because Abraham had no right standing with God. If you have a right standing with God, you need no mediator. You stand as yourself before God. Abraham had no right standing. Genesis 14. So Melchizedek stood on his behalf, to God, the king of Salem. He was a king, he was a priest. So he blessed Abraham. But if you observe, that was the last time Abraham needed a priest. At Genesis 15 verse 16. Read it. No, verse 6, sorry. Abraham did what? He believed in God and he was counted for what? Righteousness. So from that point, he needed no priest. Now, righteousness is to stand before God without a failure. You need nobody between you and God. That's right. You have an audience with God. So you won't see any priest in his life again. He was his priest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you see that? He needed no priest anymore. He was his priest. So when God was going to punish Sodom, who did he go to? So who was Sodom's priest? Abraham. But Abraham became a priest of Sodom by believing God. Right? It was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Let me see if you understand what I said. Is it clear? Good. So now Abraham has come before God. And now he can talk to God without anybody going on his behalf. He has to go through Melchizedek, right? Now he doesn't go through anybody again. So he relates with God directly. Priest, minister to God on behalf of the people. Clear? Is that clear, guys? Good.
So Melchizedek is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7. He wasn't a Levite. Certainly Abraham wasn't a Levite. Was he? Alright, Levi was his son. Okay. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, verse 1, priest of the Most High God, don't forget who a priest is, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. If you observe something, now we point your attention to something. If you read Genesis, it was called Abram. Okay? Until Genesis 19. But every time the New Testament takes the story of Abraham, whether from Genesis 12, he calls him Abraham. Why? Because that's what God called him. The writer of the Bible stuck to what God called him. Genesis was a story of how he kept calling himself Abraham, a name given by his dad. What God called him was Abraham, father of many nations. He was given exalted father, assumed father. Praise the Lord. Beautiful. Now see, from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. That's what Jesus is. Romans 5:17, Hebrews 1:9-10. He's called king of righteousness. The scepter of that kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. And after that, king of Salem, king of peace. Wherefore, that the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. His town, his place of domain is called Salem, so he's king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having never beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest how often? Continually. Abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Now, look at what he's saying here. That from Genesis, you have no record of the beginning of Melchizedek, nor the end. Was he a man? Was he born? Sure, he was. He must have had a family. He must have had a place to stay. He must have had, a roof. But you see, the record of the Bible doesn't give you that information. Why? So that it will stand as a foreshadow of Jesus. That's all. You know, in shadows and types, you don't take things literally. You don't begin to investigate. For instance, if we take a lamb from among the sheepfold and we take it to the altar, and that lamb is to be a type and shadow of Jesus, you don't say, let's see his nose, whether it's like Jesus. Let's see the ears, whether it's like Jesus. No. All that the lamb typifies is that spotless animal on the outside whose blood will be shed as a type and a shadow. That's all. So, what we see from Melchizedek is that we don't have a story about where he came from, his mom, his kids, and all that. Why? So that it will stand as a foreshadow of Jesus. Now listen to this. The story in Genesis was given to Moses by God in a vision. Moses was not there, but he wrote it down. So here it is. God showed him Melchizedek, but didn't give him details about his background, or where he came from, or what happened afterwards. Why? So that Melchizedek would stand as what? A shadow of Jesus. But he was a man. Okay? And it was not God. It was a man. Now, see this. Now, consider how great this man was, unto whom Abraham the patriarch gave the tenth of the spoils. Verse 5. Verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priest's office of the priest, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law. That is of their brethren. Though they come out of the loins of Abraham. And he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. That all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Okay? Because he was the priest to Abraham at this point. So he said, here men that die receive tithes, and there he received of them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may also say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithe in Abraham. For he was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, when under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise out of the order of Melchizedek and not called out of the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there's a made of necessity a change also of what? The law. Of what? Good, 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attention at the altar. That is, Jesus belonged to another tribe. Verse 14. It's evident that our Lord sprang out of where? Judah. Of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. It's far yet more evident, for after the sin of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of what? A carnal commandment, but after the power of what? An endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of who? Melchizedek. For there is a very disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law being made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope, by which we draw near unto God. Hallelujah. So we draw near unto who? Unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath it was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath. For this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swore and would not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For by so much was Jesus made a surety of what? A better testament. And there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by the reason of death. That is, there was not just one priest. There were several priests, because one priest will live and die, then his son will take over by the reason of death. Look at 24. But this man, hallelujah, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, glory to God. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became of us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven. Who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people? For this he did how many times? When he offered up himself. So all the offerings of the Old Testament were summarized in the offering of Jesus Christ. The meal offering, the sin offering, the eve offering, everything finds its place in the person of Jesus. Let me see if you understand that clearly. Alright. So that annuls that priesthood. It's not the same priesthood. That priesthood has been annulled by the new covenant. The old covenant concept of priesthood has been annulled. Is that very clear? Okay. Now, let's backtrack a bit. A priest must abide in the temple continually. Right? He must always be there. He must devote himself all the time to God's presence. The people will bring the offerings to him. He'll take it to God. Then for his service, he'll make sure he's fed. He eats. He feeds from the altar. He doesn't go out to work. It doesn't go out of time. But don't forget, we're referring to the Old Testament priesthood. Okay? It doesn't go out of time. But the priest must stand in the presence of God on behalf of the people. Now Christ abides continually in him. He's the high priest of our profession. Does he offer sacrifices? Nope. He has offered himself. And so everyone that comes to God through him is saved and saved forever. Is that clear to everybody? Is that clear? Good. Now, listen. Now we, born again people, children of God, we are priests of God. Right? Alright? That means we have audience with God. Right? How many times? Huh? How many times do we have audience with God?
So we are full-time priests. Correct? We are full-time ministers of God. Right?
Are we full-time ministers of God? Do we come in and go out? We're there forever. Amen? We're in God's presence forever. Full-time ministers of God. That's what we are. Are we kings of God? Are we kings in Christ in the earth? Are we? He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, 1 Peter 2 and 9. So we are. Okay. Now, you observe this and listen carefully to this. We are in a kingdom of priests. Alright. None of us need anyone to serve God on our behalf. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Nobody in the new covenant has been called separately to go and work for the Lord, for us, so that we will go and work secular jobs and then take a tenth of what we have and give him because, or her, because he's serving God on our behalf. Do you understand that? Now that's the idea of the full-time ministry. Some folks will leave the profession, they will work, then they will devote themselves to God. So we work Mondays to Fridays, we'll now take a tenth of our money, okay? Not food, it's money. But I thought it was food, but this one is money. Then we give him. Then the first fruits, no more fruits, cars, houses. We give to him. Because he's supposed to abide in God's presence continually for us. We can go to God. He goes to God. Because he has no other thing he's doing, so we support him. That's the idea people have about ministry. It's a wrong concept. It's a cross-testamental application of Christ. And it's wrong. Nobody is called to part-time ministry. Because the believer is a full-time ministry. You understand that? Nobody. The believer is a full-time minister. You see, people have been able to do this successfully, pardon me, where they have the clergy and laity. And interestingly, even in churches, world churches, people have that belief. The God and pastor have this relationship I don't have. So pastor goes to God. He prays for me. Okay? And he's to serve God. Be dedicated to God. I am dedicated to my job, to my family. But because pastor is dedicated to God, I take whatever I get from my job and I give it to pastor. I'm dedicated. It's an authentic, a simple thinking. God's desire for Israel before they turned against his word was that all of them should be what? Priests. And all of them what? Not the same thing when they were talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And Moses said to God, he said, Lord, I cannot bear these people alone. Numbers 11. He said, I cannot take these people alone. And God said, don't worry. I'll take the Spirit on you, and I'll put it on 70 elders. They will minister with you. Okay, thank you, Lord. So, on that wonderful day, God took the anointing on David, as it were, and Moses, and put it upon the 70. So, two of them, Pharaoh and Heldad, were in the temple, outside the tabernacle. And then Joshua noticed that they were prophesying. And so he said, hey, that is Moses. See these guys, they were not in the tabernacle, they are prophesying. He said, let it be. He said, God's desire is for the whole nation to be what? Prophet. He wants everybody who is a Jew to be able to prophesy, to have the Spirit of God on him. But you know, that has been fulfilled already, praise the Lord. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So that distinction you find in Israel was because of the sinful state of that nation. There should be no distinction in Israel. Not one distinction. But that distinction came because they chose to disobey God's word. Is you understand clear? Is that clear? So everybody was to be priest. Everybody was to be king. But you know what? Because they did not listen to God's word, so they will now have a separate group called priests. And the same thing is happening today in the body of Christ. Some folks believe, and say, that's why we have a lot of lazy Christians. Pastor will study the Bible for me. Yeah, I won't study the Bible. Because pastor studied the Bible and he's playing it off. So I'll give him money and I'll keep doing it for him. It's a simple Old Testament mentality. We're in a kingdom of kings. And what? Every one of God's people ask me, are you a full-time minister? I don't understand what they're talking about. I'm a full-time Christian. And if every Christian is a priest unto God, I'm a full-time minister. Hey, why are you working? I don't get. Why are you working? Because if you're a full-time minister, like the Levite,
I should be staying in the temple. Right? Shouldn't die dead. Or own a university. Hey. Or buy shares. Is that what I said? Or live on Banana Island. There should be a temple, alright? I should be there. I shouldn't go to ShopRite. Yeah. Hey, Pastor, this is for you. This is my time. Sorry, that's all I have. You know, are you following this morning? No. The priesthood has changed. Hallelujah. The order has changed. There's no physical temple. There are no physical offerings. There are no physical sacrifices. Praise the Lord. And we are all priests. Hallelujah. Having now boldness to enter into God's presence, even 10 and 12. Hallelujah. We are God's righteousness now. We have a right standing with God. Nobody goes to God on your behalf. It only happens once. You come through Jesus to God and you are there forever. Hebrews 7. Amen. Are we together now? Okay, good. So watch this, watch this. Are you learning something? So Israel was backsliding, so there was clergy and laity. Somehow, the Church of Jesus Christ went through a phase we call the Dark Ages. Interestingly, we have semblance of that today, where people have little or no regard for the truth. People just allow clergy to tell them whatever. So, at that period, you know, there was a lot of rubbish. I can't go into that this morning. The church and the world were fused into one. The church was not involved in virtually everything. So the church compromised many of its beliefs. So then the church and the state were together. So imagine from that was this idea. You see, in the Catholic Church, sorry if you're a Catholic, I'm a Catholic, but I'm not a Roman Catholic, I'm a Jew one. And then the Catholics now have this priest thing, taken from this idea. They will be serving the Lord, they will not marry. Amen. So they say. They will not marry. So you will go to them when you commit sin. Right? And you will walk and say, ah, I have, sometimes they summarize this too long. You know, I say, you're so well, okay. God has forgiven you. Yes. So they have to be in God's presence. Along the line, some folks got liberation as they were, Martin Luther, who was also a Catholic priest. They brought, you know, some liberation, fought against that, said the judge shall live by faith, because in those days, we used to pay for their sins. They would pay, you know, to build the Roman Basilica, they paid for their sins and all that. Today, people are doing it. God passed on television, is collecting money for Passover, collecting money for Pentecost, collecting money for everything. Or passing you to collect money for the church. You know, they'll collect money for virtually everything. For miracle, for breakthrough, for healing, for everything. Just so, you know, so the priest will now take your money to God, okay? So God will now give you the blessings and give you back just like after Abraham paid the tithe, then Melchizedek blessed him. But that didn't happen again. Abraham now believed God on his own. Amen. It was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. Let me see learn something else. Good. So, now, after that period, you know, Luther came out of the Catholic origin, but he never left that idea of clergy and laity. So, as he brought the Lutheran church, he still retained that idea that there were certain people in the church who now have a ministry different from all of us. So that went on and on. At the John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and all the fathers of the church. Great people. Everybody walked in all the light that they had. They were glorious ministers. We thank God for their life. So that idea was retained. That part of us are very close to God. Very devoted. Some of us are close to those who are close to God. Okay? Then there came in the charismatic and Pentecostal. Thus saith the Lord. Wonderful group.
I've been blessed, but I came out from there. Who am I now? And those ones now said, the Lord spoke to me. Right? The Lord called me when I was driving on turbulent. My son, I have called you to serve me, to preach for me. So we began to see that group as those that God has what? Called. Not in the Bible, the creation. Those are, James, I've called you, I've anointed you, I've ordained you to take my word to the nation. You don't need that. It's in Mark 16. Okay? It's already in the Bible. But because, you know, James is not reading the Bible, so God gives him a dream to tell him. He says Matthew 28, James is not listening. So he says, I have called these James to pay attention. Praise God. So that group now brought him call. You are preaching. Are you called? Are you together? It's just a way of separating people, you know, and making some people special. I've told you before, being called in the Bible is for salvation, not for ministry. Ministry is a function of maturity and responsibility. That's how you now minister to believers in the church. Because you now have responsibility in the church to preach and teach. Are we together this morning? Now, so that division came. So we feel some people are dedicated to God, like Samuel. Samuel was dedicated to God, you remember? The mother said he would always live in the priest house of the temple forever. So don't forget, Samuel was a priest. Okay? And the priesthood was created in Exodus 28 because he did not believe what God said in Exodus 19:26. Is that clear to everybody? Good. It's a kingdom of kings and priests. Now, so that idea was important. Some people pray for you. They read the Bible for you. Sometimes, you know, I give an example on Facebook. I'm talking, and I'm asking a question. Somebody says, Pastor, just tell us what is right. You know, just tell us. Why? We have the same function from the Holy Word. 1 John 2:20. We know all things. 1 John 2:27. We don't need any man to teach us again. The same anointing applies to us. There is no special anointing in anybody to know the truth. What happens is that some have given themselves more to the scripture than others. This how Pastor, you think Pastor is that guy who, you know, he just has this thing with God. And when he's talking to God, he cannot come in the midst because he himself and God have this rapport. They are padi, you know, God and Pastor. They are best of friends. You know what I mean? Pastor and God, you know, that's an Old Testament sinful mentality. We are all priests, hallelujah. I said we are all priests, hallelujah. All saints of God, we are sons of God, we are heirs of God, all of us join. That's what we are. That mentality has been important, and I'm going to show you something now for careful thinking. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was Jesus a Jew? Hope you know he was a Jew. Don't know he was a Jew? Don't know? He was a Jew. No, a Nigerian was a Jew. I had 12 of the disciples, visually, were Jews. And those folks had a Jewish thinking. First and foremost, don't forget Jesus said to them not to preach to the non-Jews in Matthew chapter 10. Only to the Jews. Because God sent him to his own. Okay? But in Matthew chapter 28, he said to go into all the nations. Mark 16:15, to all the world and preach to every creature. But you know, those folks, you know, after that, still had the mentality of a Jewish salvation. And they still carried a Jewish covenant mentality. So they still observed the Passover. They still went to the temple to pray. In fact, they were meeting in Solomon's porch to show that they were still Jewish in their thinking. And again, you know what they did? Because they were the 12 apostles, including Matthias, they started functioning like Levites. So they were a separate group in the church. So folks would bring things to their feet.
But unlike the Old Testament Levites, they would distribute for the people as they needed it. Because we're going to see later in Deuteronomy chapter 19 that the tithe was to be for the priest, the poor, and the poor, the priest, the stranger, and the widow. Those who did not have a source of income. That's what the tithe was for. Those who didn't have a source of income. So, they functioned like that. So they'll bring things, you need something, and the priest will distribute to everybody that needs. You are still operating like Levite, a Levitical order of priesthood. In chapter 6, there was now a problem that arose because the food distribution wasn't going around. And then they said, just like their thinking, we will not leave the word of God to start with it. We will give ourselves to prayer, to the ministry of the word, you attend to this natural thing. Again, they still left that distinction. But after that scenario, people like Stephen and Philip rose up. They now began to preach and teach. So it was no longer the apostles' doctrine, teaching. No longer that. It now became Philip could preach, Stephen could preach. You read later in Acts 11, many other brethren were now preaching the word. So you can see that they grew from one stage to another. However, it appeared that the Jews still retained that mentality. And Paul used an analogy, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, concerning those who preach the gospel. That means our pastors and our leaders. Are you following me? Okay. Am I not an apostle? That's one. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? I not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, ye doubtless I am unto you, for the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. My answer to them that examine me is this. Have we not power, what they have right, to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, even as the brethren of the Lord, as Cephas, that's Peter. For I only and Barnabas have not with the power to forbear working. That is, don't we have the power to refrain from working, from earning money from our own work? He says, verse 7, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Who feeds the flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? Now he's talking about taking money from other believers because of ministry. Are we together? Alright. Taking things and being supported in ministry. It says, say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same. So the first illustration he gave, analogy in verse 7, was from natural things. Now look at it. If a soldier goes to war, you feed him. You make sure you feed him, you make sure you clothe him, you make sure you house him. Right? That's what he's saying. That anybody who plants something will eat of whatever he plants. Do I say this as a man? Said no. Even the law, that the Old Testament, says the same thing. For it says in the law of Moses, you see that in Deuteronomy 25 verse 4, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that threshed out the corn. But God take care for oxen? Said altogether for our sakes. For our sakes? No. Doubt this is written, he that plows should plow in hope. And he that threshes in hope should be a particle of his hope. We have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. Now, he's using an analogy. He's analyzing things. Now look at 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power for suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So the exercise of a right to take, because you are ministering to people, he says, will hinder the gospel of Christ. Why? Look at this. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live for the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. Find the who here? The Levite. Right? Even so, are the Lord ordained that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
We have not used. I've used none of these things. Neither have I written these things. That it should be so done unto me. Better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For what? Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now this is the catch. 17 and 18. I want us to read together. One to go. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel. Now look up. Did Aaron do it willingly? Huh? Good. If I do this willingly, I have a reward. If against my will, the judgment of God is committed to me. 18 together, everybody wants to go. What is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel of Christ, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Praise the Lord. Can you see that? He's saying, service is willing. It's a willing service. Under the old covenant, God commanded them. In the new covenant, it's sacrifice. I give myself to service. There's no compulsion. I was saying in a camp meeting, if you choose not to serve God, nothing will happen to you. Don't say, well, God will destroy my business. Or that's an Old Testament thinking. In the new covenant, we serve God willing. It's a new covenant. We serve God willing. You choose to preach the gospel. You choose to serve God. It's sacrifice. It's not a commandment. It's a sacrifice. To give your time and your effort so that others will be blessed. And Paul is saying here, if you will place a demand on that service, it will hinder the gospel of Christ. And that's the gospel of grace. Freely give. Freely have you received. Freely you should give. You know the Levites were not working freely? Were they working freely? Huh? Come, were they working freely? No. You had to give to them back. Because they were serving on your behalf. The New Testament ministry is not the same as a Levitical order. Paul just drew an analogy from here. That if somebody is preaching to you and teaching you God's word, you deserve to appreciate him. You know. And he says that again in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that threshes out the corn. And the laborer, he says, is worthy of his wages. Romans 17:6, Romans 19:15. So, in the new covenant, they are laborers. And they are worthy of what we support them with. Galatians 6 and 6 says, let him that is taught in word communicate to him that the teacher in all good things. But there's no prescribed thing. There's no compulsory with him. If you don't do it, the Bible didn't say you have sinned. Support those who labor, support those who help you to grow spiritually is not the same as a Levitical order. They are not serving God on your behalf. No. They are not leaving their jobs and their work to serve God on your behalf. No. That's a Levitical order of priesthood. The new covenant, we don't have such. Now let me go back and say a couple of things. I told you that the priest will minister continually. It's something you do full time. Okay? 1 Peter 2:5 says we have built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. Hebrews 13:15. Let us therefore continually offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Romans 12:1. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. All that forms the ministry of the believer, a full-time service to God. And that's what every believer does to God. Nobody does it on your behalf. Nobody should be praying for you or talking to God on your behalf. Every saint of God has an audience with God. Prayer has to be done continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. Always. Colossians 4:2, pray always also. Romans 12:12, be instant in prayer. So, if it's prayer, to talk to God, to minister to God, every believer has that responsibility to do it all the time. Nobody does it on your behalf, then you take your income and give the person for doing it on your behalf. Let me see your hand if that's clear to you. Come on, let me see your hand. So the believer is a full-time what? Minister. Every believer is a full-time minister. Preaching the gospel is a full-time job. God has given us the commandment to preach the gospel. Mark 16:15-17. Matthew 28:18-20. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That means, now we are with God, right? Jesus has reconciled us to God. And what has he done for us? He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody who has been reconciled to God has been given what? The ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespass again unto them, and has committed unto us what? The message of reconciliation. So we are full-time ministers, full-time preachers of the message. That's what we are. Full-time priests unto God. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? If you are doing a part-time, then you sure need to give your increase to the person who is your mediator on earth, to God. Is that funny? That's a serious matter. You can't pray for yourself, so somebody prays for you. You can't study the Bible, somebody reads it for you. So you now take your money to him. That's what they call us over my God. Because really, all of us are dedicated to God. That's why it says we are a holy priesthood. We are to walk in the light of who we are. If you have found yourself not pastoring any group of people today, or leading people to the Christ, or overseeing people in the Lord, it's because you have found yourself a spiritual being, an unserious Christian. That's what you are. You have found yourself an unserious Christian. You are not growing spiritually. That's exactly what you are. No special group of people in the body of Christ is commissioned to preach and teach and do things on behalf of others. Nobody. Clear? Is that clear? Everybody has an audience with God. We'll do what Paul said to Timothy. Things you have learned of me among many witnesses. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Commit unto people who are called of God. Huh? Commit unto people who have seen Jesus in a dream. Commit unto those who have left their jobs to preach. Commit unto faithful men who are able to teach others to be saved. Qualification for ministry, 1 Timothy chapter 3, must be a husband of one wife, blameless, one who can teach, one who rules his house well. You know, on and on, not a lover of money, not purely looker. He didn't say one who has seen God in a dream, one who God has spoken to know. Look at the case of the Ephesian church. Paul met 12 folks, Acts 19, read verse 7, there were 12, verse 6 and 7, there were 12. Amongst the people, he began to teach them. He now separated them in verse 8 and 9 and taught them in the school of one Tyrannus for 3 years altogether. By Acts 20:20-28, these 12 had become what? Elders over the people. They had grown up. So ministry is a function of maturity. I'm doing what I'm doing today as a function of maturity in the faith. I want to do more. Serve God more in more capacity. That should be your heart desire as a priest of God in this covenant. Are we together? So ministry in the new covenant is consecration to the service of God. It doesn't take you away from the secular profession of the covenant. Because that's not what it is. Paul was a classic example of a full-time minister. He was. In Acts 20, verse 33-35, he said, I have not asked any man for gold or silver. These hands have ministered to my needs and the needs of them that were with me. In Ephesians 4:28, he commands us to walk. He himself did. Let me show you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9. Please read there. Turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Please turn to your Bible, please. Don't look at me. For you remember, brethren, our labor
and travail for laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you who preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses. And God also, how holily and justly and unblamably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted you and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. He says, we have not asked you to give us anything. We have walked. We have chosen not to be burdensome. Look at verse 6. We might have been burdensome. Say, we might have been burdensome even as the apostles of Christ. Look at chapter 2. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We have walked night and day. So that means, I mean, in the world today, if you walk night and day, that means you're a secular person. Have you? Are we together? And yet, he still preached night and day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 6. I want us to read it together. 2 Thessalonians 6, 3 verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Are we there? Let's go. Now I command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly, not after the tradition that he received of us. Verse 7. You yourselves know how ought to follow us, or behave not ourselves solely among you. Listen. But we wrought with labor and night, that we may not be chargeable. Verse 9. Not because we have not right, but to make ourselves an example for us. Verse 10. Really, when we were with you, we commanded, if you will not sow seed, you will not eat. Hey. What version are you reading? If you will not lay to your pastor and connect with the anointing, you will not eat. You will not what? Huh? You will not eat. What did he tell the guy who stole, those who stole in Ephesians 4:8-20? Let him that stole steal no more. Let him start to sow 24-hour miracles. Breakthrough, see? Connect with the anointing. Confess. I'm rich. My father owns the world. Is that what he said? Let him walk with his hands that which is good. Hallelujah. That he may have to give to him that is in need. Amen. Amen. So the minister in the church, the new covenant, is somebody who walks with his hands. Right? That which is good. And yet walks for the Lord, preaching and ministering to the people. Doesn't lay a charge on anyone. No, it doesn't. It's an example for us. You see how it is. How can you preach? How can you preach industry, labor, and devotion to your work when you don't do any? As a fellow young man, and I'm not against those who have chosen to leave their secular work and face church. But the point is, don't buy jet. That's not honest. Don't buy the best cars in the congregation. You're supposed to be a priest. Stay in church. If that's your temple, stay in the pastor's room, live there with your family, the parsonage. Then every Sunday, you bring yams, rice, for sure not X5. No. That's using the Bible deceitfully. And again, let me now turn to you here. There's no excuse why you should not dedicate yourself to the ministry. I have not been called by who? No. Is that I am not a serious Christian. Every one of us should find ourselves busy in the service of the Lord. I'll close on that. Busy serving the Lord. Busy preaching the gospel. There's nobody. Philip wasn't called. Stephen wasn't called. Timothy wasn't called. Silas wasn't called. They were just responsible Christians who chose to dedicate their time to the Lord. A priest of the new covenant will minister to God continually and minister to the people. Hallelujah. The Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see how they follow what I'm saying this morning. The priests of God, a
priesthood in Christ is not the same as a Levitical order at all. It's a priesthood that involves us ministering to the Lord because we are right standing with God, and then teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. That's who we are. That's what we are. And that's what we do. But our hearts sometimes need a check where we leave that responsibility to other people. We say, well, I honor God for the life of pastor. He's sold out to God. He's dedicated to God. What about you? No, me, sir. I'm not here calling. Is the MTN call or no? Which call are you looking for? Scripture has given you a ministry. Praise the Lord. Are you fulfilling that ministry? It's a lazy drone, sir. Me, I'm not a preacher. What are you? I'm an engineer. Sad. Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Was made bold to say 1 Corinthians 15:10. I have labored more than all the apostles put together. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. As touching prayer, I told the entire Corinthian church, I thank my God, even though I walk night and day. I thank my God, even though I have to end my living. I pray tongues more than you all. Hallelujah. The function of where your heart is. Your heart is in service. Your heart is in earthly monetary things. So you leave your ministry for your pastor. That is why people today are subject to all sorts of manipulation. You will collect your money, collect your wife, if it's possible, collect your house. The lady in Poraco gave her home, the only home they had, the house, to a certain popular preacher for deliverance. Time need deliverance. And the man said, there's something God wants you to let go. What is it? He said, your house. I'll keep it. For deliverance. She gave her house. Well, as much as I would scold the preacher, call him a thief, I'll look at the believer too and say, it's your fault. They collect money from you for anointing. It's your fault. They collect money from you to talk to God on your behalf. It's your fault. If anybody takes money from you to bless you, like Melchizedek, or like Aaronic priesthood, it's your fault. When we ask you to learn Bible, you will not learn it. Don't worry, you will learn it by bitter experience. When you give your all, when you say, put your left up, God is saying, put your left. Touch your head. Say, oh God, touch me, touch me. So you are outside the tabernacle. They are in the tabernacle. Whatever they tell you, you believe. Because you have failed to see yourself in the presence of God. Having a right standing with God, the priest that can minister to God continually. Are you being blessed this morning? Stand to your feet, give God praise. Thank you. Priests.